In this passage of media turbulence, there's no shortage of visions for the future of newspapers. Many of these are apocalyptic, but others have been taking the opportunity to think about how new relationships between journalists, readers, and money could improve the media sphere. One new but old take on the business comes in the shape of the Dublin Inquirer, a Dublin-based newspaper that has a zero advertising approach, indeed actively refuses advertising requests and supports itself entirely through reader subscriptions. One sign of the approach that might tell you all you need to know is that the Dublin Inquirer has an unreal estate rather than a real estate section. If some papers are ever in the thrall of the sellers of property, the Inquirer is clearly aligned with the renters, or would-be renters in the capital. Culture Files' Louis Scully went to meet the Inquirer's editor, Lois Capilla, for some lessons in what she calls slow journalism.
Yeah, I guess we're kind of more into the slower journalism, so what we're trying to do is in-depth reporting and taking time over reporting rather than trying to get stuff out as fast as possible. We're really trying to do stories that wouldn't be told otherwise. And lots of on-the-ground reporting, because I think the news can be a little bit alienating, so it's quite good to tie what's going on and more abstract debates back to actual people and places in the city. I'm Lois Capilla, and I edit and report for Dublin Inquirer. The Dublin Inquirer is a local independent newspaper, and we do city reporting and also collaborative journalism projects when we can, and it's funded by our readers rather than advertisers. We publish weekly online and monthly in print. We've got a pretty smallish core team, so two full-time reporters and then me doing kind of a lot of the admin and business stuff as well as some reporting, and then Sam, my husband, has a full-time job but also helps out. And then a broader universe of people who freelance and pitch stories, and we're really open to freelance pitches. Ideally, I would have us grow our staff a little bit, but not necessarily grow the number of stories too much so that we can spend more time doing longer projects.
Where does the Dublin Inquirer fall in terms of political leaning?
I'm sure people have their opinions about where we stand on the political spectrum. I am actually don't think about that. I'm more process driven. So I guess what I try to do in the stories is we try to talk to as many people as possible, and we try to get to as close to the truth as possible, and then we write what all the different views are, and not two sides of views, because stories have five or six sides or seven sides. Like, it's not a polarized debate like that. We've been doing a lot of stories about land and land in the city, and also like land and lobbying around sort of policies around land and the Land Development Agency. Just because it's so fundamental to how the city will change, and it's so fundamental to how some people are so wealthy and some people aren't. And it's really challenging to write about that in a way that's kind of interesting, so that's something that I'm trying to think about. You know, there's the whole thing of, oh, how much should media try to be entertaining, but trying to write things in a way that's accessible is part of it. Well, I guess we think a lot, not just about the reporting side of things, but also about the craft and how we can present things in a way that are enjoyable and lovely to read. Yeah. We kind of, from looking at what was going on, and particularly what was going on overseas, realised that we weren't going to be an advertising-funded newspaper. But we thought we did need like an incentive for people to support us, which is why we started the print edition, and also because a lot of our stories are longer term evergreen stories, so it lends itself to those kinds of formats as well. We put up a sort of semi-metered sort of paywall on the website just to encourage people or make it more obvious that we are reader supported. But then if people can't afford it, then we just let them have access anyway, because the last thing we wanted to do was to, like, cut people out. Some people will then pay like a reduced rate, some people have it for free. Some people have been really lovely, like they couldn't afford it for a while and then they got a job and they paid all their back payments, even though they didn't have to. It's a really long runway, like it's kind of slow, we're growing every month. I try to just stay focused on doing what I think we should be doing and trying to just keep going with that and not get too distracted by what everybody else is doing, beyond like keeping an eye obviously on what stories people are doing so we're not doing the same and all that kind of stuff. We're not massively part of that media world, so I think we just try to get on with it.
Dublin Inquirer editor Lois Capilla there, and the reporter was Louis Scully. Coming up tomorrow, it's the Culture File Weekly, where we'll attempt some deep mapping deep in the forests at Lismore, discover what it means to launch a career in music from rural Ireland, and get under the bonnet of Beethoven's late quartets. That's all in the Culture File Weekly tomorrow and every Friday evening just after 7 here on RTE Lyric FM.